your generosity. Thank you for your long-suffering. Who is like you, Lord? The one who created it all. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done and all that you continue to do in our lives. Lord, may you open our hearts to your message. And Lord, may we leave renewed. And may we be the people that you called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hope. Hope. Hope in the English language denotes the fact that there is some sense of doubt. But the Greek word for hope is elpis. That's E-L-P-I-S, which denotes the fact that there is earnest expectation in that which you've placed your hope. The title to today's message is Our Only Hope. So the Greek word elpis, there is certainty associated with it. And there seems to be so much uncertainty in these perilous times in which we live when people are trying to find so much satisfaction in other things. But I've come here today to tell you that there is only one hope for this old world. Not only the world, because that may be too general, there's only one hope for you as an individual. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul reminds us that Jesus Christ is the icon. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of who the God the Father is. He is the God-man. This is why the Gospel of John says in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, God is seeking true worship from us. God is a God of love. He loves his children so much so that he wants to shower us with all that we need to live an abundant life in Christ. Take the word of God and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. It's kind of a storyline, so there will be some light commentary. We're going to speak on the woman at the well. The first key point in this text is that we serve a God that knows our needs. God is prepared to give us that which we need to live the life that he has purposed in us. The Bible tells us before the foundation of the earth that God created good works for us. So God knows our needs and what he has purposed in us. The Bible reads in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Now, I was reading my study Bible, and I like to cross-reference between my study Bible and the King James Version Bible, in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But he needed to go to Samaria." In my study Bible, that word "needed" was missing. But in the New King James Version Bible, it says that he needed to journey to Samaria. Always remember this. God is willing to meet you where you are. You see, there's some of us who won't come to God because we believe that we need to clean ourselves up. But I'm here to tell you that God is willing to meet you right where you are. Don't let circumstances stop you from seeking God, for he has power over those circumstances. Don't let people stop you from seeking God, for he has power to help you overcome. And don't let your own ability stop you from seeking God, for he has the power to help you live an abundant life in Christ. So the Bible says that Jesus is headed to Samaria to reach someone who needed an encounter with God. Just to give you a little background, the Jews avoided Samaria. This may seem like no big deal to you, but however, a Jewish man wouldn't be seen in Samaria, let alone be speaking to a Samaritan woman. The Samaritans were looked at as half-breeds to the Jews. The Bible reads in chapter 4, verse 5, "So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about sixth hour, which is around noon their time. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.'" I find it fascinating that the disciples weren't there. We talk about how the Samaritans were looked at as half-breeds. Christianity is about a relationship. It's not about religion. And Jesus wants a personal relationship with each of us. This is why I believe the disciples weren't there. Jesus wanted a one-on-one encounter with this woman. She probably felt ostracized because in Samaria, women didn't travel without the men. But Jesus was there to tell this woman that the gospel is for the Jew and the Gentile. You see, no matter your race, no matter your background, no matter your social status, no matter what you've done. See, I see images depicting Jesus. And I see people debate about what ethnicity he may have been. But I'm here to tell you today that your race has no significance in the eyes of God. There's a reason God didn't reveal his ethnicity, because he didn't want us worshiping an image. I don't worship God because of how he looks. I worship him because of who he is and what he's done. You see, God is spirit, and the Bible says that God wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. And I find it fascinating. We love God for a reason. And yet God loves us for no good reason. So much so that the Bible says that Christ died for us. Bible says, in sin, my mother conceived me. Right? So there was no good thing in you when you entered the world. And yet God, before the foundation, Bible says that he set about good works for us. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a foundation of water springing up into everlasting life. Key point number two. So Jesus engages in this way of trying to develop partnership with her. Think about how God desires to move in our lives. God desires to move in us and through us. When he's moving in us, he's transforming our lives. When he's moving through us, he's impacting the lives of others. You see, God wants to partner with who we are, to connect other people to who he is. He's engaging people all throughout the scriptures. When Jesus is speaking of living water, he's speaking of the power and the presence of himself inside the life by the person of the Holy Spirit. If you look all throughout the scriptures, you see where Jesus transformed the lives of others. Take a man like Paul, or should I call him Saul, who persecuted Christians, who he murdered Christians, and on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him, and now he's the great apostle Paul. You take men in the scriptures who were great doctors, but great from a social status, and God transformed their lives and made them great in the kingdom of God. You see, God doesn't need much from us. He just needs a willing heart. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Now, all of us are lost at some point. And it is only until we come to the foot of the cross where we can be found. By the mercy of his grace and by the mercy of his love. But whoever drinks of this water I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become like a fountain of life springing up into everlasting life. You see, there is a fountain that will never run dry, that will never cease to exist in the lives of believers. And it is found in Jesus, the Spirit of God in us. Now, Jesus says to her, go and call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. And that you spoke truly. And I think Jesus brings up her husbands because sometimes we try to find satisfaction or fulfillment in others. You hear people all the time talking about trying to find the perfect person, only to realize that when they find that perfect person, they realize they're imperfect. Now then they want to go and leave that person and go find the perfect person, only to realize again that that perfect person was imperfect. It's a cycle. Jesus was simply telling her that you're looking for love in all the wrong places. What you are seeking is agape love. And that can only be found in Christ. Right? There are so many of us. We're on a soul search. We're on a journey for fulfillment in other things. Some of us were seeking money. I remember when I graduated college and I told myself, I said, if only I can make this much money, that'll be enough. Then I got to that point. I said, I want to make more. We set goals, but the goals are never good enough, right? So if it's not money, it's prestige. We want everybody to see how great that we are. That's why we see people and all paraded out through the world. They want you to see what they got. They want you to see the cars. They want you to see the house. And all these people that you're trying to satisfy could care less. Right? God created you for him. It's by him that we live and breathe. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. She was close. But she was wrong. Might I say that he is the prophet of prophets. He's the king of kings. He's a prince of peace. He's Noah's ark. He is Abraham's bosom. He is the one with all authority in heaven and earth. He is the God-man. The way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you continue on to read in verse 28, the Bible says that the woman left her water pot and went on her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Now, My mother loves me, and she's here today. She's never found any fault with me. Right? So everything I do in her eyes, she loves. But when Jesus was talking to her, she said, I had no husband, right? She didn't go into details, but Jesus knew she already had five. You might be able to deceive your mother, but Jesus was saying, you can't deceive me. Baby, I know it all. I know it all. I know about the five husbands. I know about the relationships. I know every aspect of your life. So if you think that you can get one over on God, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not going to happen. She left her water pot, but she came back to the city. She left that water pot empty, but she came back to the city full of grace and truth, ready to share the gospel. Key point number three, hope in Jesus. If you're hoping in anything else, do just what she did. Leave those things behind and come and follow Jesus. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 34, verse 8, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Listen to me now. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, then you have Abraham's offspring. You are Abraham's offspring, heirs to promise. God is such a good God. He's made us heirs to his promises. Not because of what we have done, but what Jesus did on the cross. What Jesus did on the cross. Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. I can understand him doing it for y'all, but me personally, he did it for me. Chief of the sinners. One, I can't understand it. It's so astonishing to me that the God who created the universe, who spoke the world into existence, desires a relationship with me. Just little old me. And Jesus didn't come to live in a mansion. He was born in a manger. So it resonates with somebody like me that grew up in poverty. I just can't understand it. And there's some of us who won't accept his call when he was spat on, when he bled, when he was nailed to a cross because of what I did. Oh, but he was buried. And he rose from the grave with all power and might. Jesus is truly our only hope. Now let's run and tell others about Jesus and God's amazing grace, his amazing love, and his mercy. You see, we plan like tomorrow is promised. Tomorrow is not promised. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You put it off and there's no recourse. There's no second times. There's no second chances. Bible says that the man looked up and he said that he was in excruciating pain. The man that was in hell in the story of Lazarus, Jesus said there was a great gulf fixed. I'm here to tell you today that God has placed in my spirit that hell is a real place. And a lot of religious people will be there. It's not about religion, it's about a relationship with Jesus. It's about a relationship. We get an opportunity to serve the one who spoke it all into existence. We got to work 40 hours a week. But the Bible says that God spoke the universe into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The one who created it all wants a relationship with us. The only ones in the universe, the only beings created that has salvation. Angels don't, but humans. God came and died for us. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful on today why you chose to save us is beyond me. Why you chose to show us mercy is beyond me. Why you love us is beyond me. But what we come to say today is, Lord, thank you. Thank you for it all. Thank you for opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get it right. Every day, the Lord showers us with his grace and his mercy. Lord, we just thank you for being who you are, doing what you've done in our lives, Lord. May we be the people that you called us to be. May we love one another the way that you called us to love one another. May we be bold and we share Christ with others. May we be the bold people that the Spirit of God would lead us, would guide us, and would protect us. Father God, we just thank you. We just thank you on today. If it had not been for you on our sides, where would we be? To anybody who don't know the Lord, and you want to come to know the Lord, we will be in the foyer
if you're looking to build a relationship with Christ. One of these old days, we will all meet the Lord. And for those of you, or those of us, me included, who choose not to accept the salvation that God allows, there will be no mercy. If you want mercy, you may have it, but it will be in this life. If you want forgiveness, you may have it, but it will be in this life. But Father God, I pray that we all accept your free gift of salvation. Because when it's all said and done, the Bible says that all of the things of this earth will be burnt up. The things that we work so hard for, the things that we strive for, will be all burnt up. And the only thing we will have left is what we did for Jesus. So, Father God, thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.